T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
Full show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Friday night and Saturday night, we're feeling pretty good. Warriors are coming off 3 straight wins. And last night and this morning, don't feel very good. The Lakers absolutely shellacking the Warriors last night, 117-91. And I guess the issue with this loss last night, Guru, you take care of the Knicks, you take care of the Pacers, you take care of the Hornets, 3 teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Now you go to L.A., big game against the Lakers, kind of see where you're at, even though they're missing Anthony Davis. And you're down 20 after the first quarter, and it doesn't really get any closer than that. Good morning, Goo.
Good morning, Dibs. What's up, Steiny? Good morning.
What's going on, Steiny? That's, shellacking is a great word. I think it's underused, and at times it's overused, because a true shellacking, you know, when you put shellac on something, it takes multiple coats, and it takes time, and you have to do a thorough job in order for the shellacking to really be a nice quality work. But that's what that was, and it's too bad because after the Friday night win, 3 straight wins, tip of the cap, you can go ahead and take that out of the cap, my time capsule take of they won't win 3 straight, that went away. But boy, it sure doesn't feel like that 3-game win streak was much of anything after that, wait for it, shellacking, Goo.
Nice. And it wasn't just the first quarter. It was the fact that the Warriors just never woke up in that game. There was never one point in that game last night where they made a run, where they got a couple stops, where they got it to a point where the game was interesting. They're down 20 at the end of the first quarter, 29 at half. And, I mean, you know, Curry was trying, but they just had nothing going on. And I think the thing that worries me and might worry Warrior fans is we saw a different tier. The Lakers are just a better team, and they're still playing without, you know, either their best player or their second best player. And I get the Warriors are too. But to me, that game showed me, Dibs, it's different when you got to compete against the actual contenders in the NBA.
Right. And I love tiers. You know me, Steiny. You know I love tiers, going back about 10 years when we did our Bay Area media tiers, your tier 1, 2, 3, and eventually tier 4 and 5 we get to eventually. But the Warriors are basically a tier 3 team. They're a playoff team. They're in the chase for the playoffs, but they're not a team to make noise. If you're tier 2, you're a playoff certainty. And maybe if things break your way, you've got a shot at doing something like Denver last year and Miami. They were tier 2. And then, hey, next thing you know, you're in the finals. You become a tier 1. But this year, you look at Utah and the Lakers, and you look at, you know, what Milwaukee was able to do, Giannis taking over a game. And you look at teams that you could rightfully think have a shot at the chip. They're tier 1. But it's okay to hang in there. And if you beat the other tier 3s, then maybe you get up to tier 2 and you become, you know, a 4 or 5 seed. But right now, Goo, it's just you're not worthy of that spot.
Yeah, but we need to know why. WHY, Steiny, I'm with you. And you said something I took that was profound to me. You said you felt like Steph was trying. And I mean, his back is broken from carrying this team. And he's setting the tone. That doesn't go in the box score. They did this on national TV against the Nuggets in Denver. It was a no-show. We said nothing to see here. They did it against Phoenix without Devin Booker. Nothing to see here. And last night, you're getting what I call white hot right before the break, three in a row. You need the game more than the Lakers without Anthony Davis. And Dibs and Steiny, it's a no-show. I mean, I'm just thinking, to me, Curry doesn't look tired in the sense of gasp. Oh, I'm not in shape. He's been phenomenal. But as he goes, his team goes. And sometimes, can he be Robin to somebody else's Batman? And I just can't explain what happened. And then you lose by 30, and your captain, Draymond's tweeting about the other rookie in another game after you should be watching tape of your game. Just something I wrote down on my 8.5 by 11. I apologize. It's just a lot going on, man.
Yeah, I thought we were over that with Draymond and the tweeting. So the Warriors lose by 101, 111.
Gertie. We call it Gertie. Yeah.
26 last night. And obviously the Hornets were playing last night also. They were playing the Sacramento Kings. By the way, you want to talk about somebody kicking away a game. Holy Toledo. Kings were up 8 with 1:09 left. And they're at the foul line. Losing regulation. Choke artist. Anyway.
Pretty much. That's definitely fitting. And Luke Walton still coaching as of this this moment? Guru was saying, and I saw all over Twitter, that's my morning ritual. You know, you wake up 5:15 anyway after 20 years of doing mornings, and you check the Twitter, and Twitter doesn't do it chronologically anymore. They kind of, if you open up someone's profile, they will percolate to your feed a little more often. So I got a lot of goo on Walton watch, so I just want to, you know, keep an eye on Sacramento. Before I even saw that result, I saw like 4 tweets from the goo, and I thought, all right, let me check in on this Sacramento meltdown.
Yeah, I sent something to your phone, both of you, so you'll know why. But, Steiny, real quick, I went JD. He's my Sac Connect. So I texted him last night, are you looking at this? Said Walton should be fired. He goes, and I said, what about Jaeger? He goes, hey, you wanted Jaeger fired. And I said to myself, God, I can't get away from Steiny. That's tomorrow at 10, JD.
I'm just going to put it bluntly. I'm sick of it.
A collapse.
After the Warriors game, LaMelo Ball was putting on quite a show in Sacramento. He ended up with 24 and 12. By the way, the Rookie of the Year race may be over. But nevertheless, Draymond Green tweets out, LaMelo is a problem. And we were over this before. I think, earlier in the year you had a tweet about LeBron James. I think Guru wasn't crazy about Dibs, played it down. Well, so what? Hey, LaMelo Ball is a problem. I mean, he's going to be a heck of a player. He's already a heck of a player. We're allowed to give flowers, Guru, but players can't give flowers to each other?
What about the message it sends when you have the rookies competition in your own problem with Wiseman, Dibs? You think there wasn't a subliminal there, or I wouldn't send anything that I thought would make you two uncomfortable or that people could perceive to be uncomfortable. So as a leader, Draymond, hold on. I'm praising the rookie that could have been on your team. Dibs, that ain't cool, man. I wouldn't have sent it even if I wanted to because of how Wiseman would have looked or perceived it.
Please. I mean, Wiseman is going to feel some kind of way about a tweet from Draymond Green, who's been in the league since Wiseman was a fourth grader.
Our league.
By the way. In our league. Thank you, Steiny, for the correction. I need to be better than that. So Draymond's been at this since Wiseman was only a 6-foot fourth grader. He's probably 6'5 in fourth grade, Lord knows. But he's going to feel some kind of way because Draymond's given flowers to another rookie. If that strikes you, if you're so sensitive that that affects you, then you got no place in, wait for it, our league. I mean, Guru, this is not
okay, Dibs.
This is not.
They lost by 30, Dibs. How about take a play
26.
off?
26.
They lost by 26. We call it Gertie. That's 30. Just take, why are you tweeting about another game and you got blown out? Nobody wants to hear from you.
Yeah, 1.2 million followers are on the phone. Please don't let it ring, because that thing will be ringing the entirety of the show. Goo, I coached high school girls volleyball in the late 90s, and we were heading into a big match. It was homecoming week, and the practice before the big match, I had three girls in tears. So I had to ask one of my captains, I said, what's the deal with our front row? And they said, well, player A and player B have the same dress for homecoming, and neither one of them will switch to another dress. My point being, that was an age-appropriate problem. That's a problem. If Wiseman, at almost 20 years of age, is feeling some kind of way because Draymond's tweeting about LaMelo Ball, that's Harry High School. He's got to be stronger than that. By the way, we lost.
You lost to a cupcake homecoming opponent?
No, this was we were at Marin Catholic. We were trying to steal one in the house that Dibbs built. But
who scheduled
Susie
that?
Woodall and company too much.
Who made the schedule?
Well, I was league schedule, so
you sometimes gotta schedule just, you know, a cupcake on homecoming.
Yeah.
Hostess.
Yeah.
It's like a
problem when you are everyone's homecoming opponent. That's when you know you got problems.
888-957-9570 is the number. Man, feeling so good after Friday's win over the Hornets. That was their third in a row. And then it almost felt like they gave it all back last night against the Lakers. And it's a Lakers team, mind you, without Anthony Davis. And I understand that the Warriors are also probably without their second-best player. But I think Warrior fans had every right to expect they could go into the Staples Center last night and give the L.A. Lakers a game. And they weren't even able to do that. So where are you right now with the Warriors? Was last night just a reality check that they're still a cute little story, but really we're talking about a 7th or 8th seed? Or was that game an anomaly last night? And they happened. Steve Kerr called it very surprising. We'll listen to Steve Kerr and what he said after last night's game. But where are you at with the Warriors? Man, some good vibes for about 4 or 5 days, and then thump, they get whacked last night by the Lakers. 888-957-9570 is the number, and we're going to talk about it all on the other side.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Warriors. Shellacked. Flat out shellacked last night. 117-91. We have these games in our league occasionally, guys. But the one thing that was a little surprising to me was there wasn't a sliver of a run last night. There wasn't one time in that game where I noticed, all right, Warriors are down big. Just make something happen. Give me a 9-1 run. Make the Lakers call timeout. Andrew Wiggins, try to do something to change up the game a little. Oubre, anybody. And it was just not there. Of course, Draymond gets hurt in the second quarter, sprained ankle, and it is all downhill from there. Was there anything more? What was the thing that pissed you off the most, Goo? Because I could tell coming in this morning, you didn't like it. I almost feel like, I don't know, you were more upset with that loss than the three wins prior, than happy you were with the three wins prior, if you know what I mean.
I appreciate the question. The reason is, and I've told you guys this season, that to me, I feel like some of these games are stages. And the win over Charlotte and the win over New York and Indiana, yeah, they count the same in the box score, but they're not the same in regard to Sunday night, ESPN. You're playing your divisional foe without their second-best player. You're arguably what we think you're hot. You're picking up momentum. Roles have been identified. And you go out there and you can't even get Dibs. Again, I've used this before talking Warrior basketball. TKO. It was a technical knockout. And I just want to find out what trait this team has to where this can rear its head on national TV. And for Kerr to say we're just going to throw it out, I mean, what else can you do? But I'm asking you. Maybe I think the Warriors are better than they actually are, and that's sobering to me.
Well, it's that and a lot more than just that. And by the way, that was a knockout. That was Tyson Spinks, 92 seconds, go to sleep. That was no TKO. You're down 41-20. When Steiny said it earlier, down 20 after one. Just say that out loud to yourself and think about what that means. Now, that doesn't mean you can't come back and win, but when you're the underdog and you're on the road and you're playing against a team without its best player probably or second best player, depending on how you want to look at it, and you're still down 20 and then Draymond gets hurt, that thing was a knockout. The fact that you only lost by 26 is underscored by the fact that the Lakers put it into second gear at halftime when they are up by 29. So Kerr's right. It's just a classic toilet game. You flush it, you move on, and if you're a professional, and these guys are, and hopefully the youngsters can shake it off, you come out and you give a good effort, knowing you only have two more till the break.
Yeah, and I think one thing we saw was, holy cow, Dibs, K-Wig was playing the hits last night. I mean, and you know, Wiggins was just absolutely, I mean, he was playing all the classics from the 70s to the 90s last night. He was just absolutely nice and easy. One.
Yeah, Stein, you got to slow it down, Daddy.
Nice
one for five.
Daddy!
Yeah. You know, he found his way into three threes, Goo, but it was miss, it was miss, and it was miss.
Hey,
got to the line
first?
Twice.
Is it March
50%.
Or February 28th?
March
it's
1st.
February, yeah, 20, February 29th some years, but this year, it's March 1st.
Well, that's good for Wiggins because he shot 25% from three-point range in February, so hopefully he'll switch it up. But, yeah, the K-Wig.
It's a classic, and then it's exactly what we've said all along. Well, he only played 22 minutes because that thing was over. So I don't think we can look at the totality of his numbers and say, oh, man, he should have shot it 14 times. None of them played more than two of their usual four stints. But a bigger problem is, and you could go through Wiggins' game log and look at Wiggins versus good teams and Wiggins versus mediocre or trash teams. And in those games, in the low wattage situations, Goo, that's when he's at his best, you know? Some radio hosts are best going midnight to 3 a.m. Other people can peak it in drive time, and he's one of those guys. It's just when the lights are bright, he's not a huge factor.
But I'll say this. It's not as Andrew goes or K-Wig goes, the team goes. It's as number 30 goes, and he was 2 of 7 from 3 last night. A lot of those threes came early. I'll ask you this, Dibs, because you kind of went Billy Martin on me in the green room when I suggested that he might be not physically, just mentally and physically exhausted from carrying this team. He sets the tone, and last night he couldn't even let him go early. And maybe I need to tip the cap to the Laker defense with Schroeder in the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think so. And also, you're going to have off nights. And, you know, he had a few games back. I think he only had 17 points, but it was in a win because everyone else picked him up. Everyone else played great. Draymond's coming off a couple of spectacular games as the point guard that I think he's going to become as his career continues to evolve. But on a night where everyone stunk and everyone stunk early, that starting unit, you came out, and by the time, you know, you were bringing in reserves for the first time, you're getting toward the end of the first quarter, that thing was over because nobody was playing well. And like Stein, he said, you were down 20. So that is one of those ones you just got to crumple up and throw away. Now, if you come back and repeat that same effort, Steiny, if they come out and they're losing, you're down by 12 after the first quarter or something, now you've got problems heading into the break.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And when you get down 20, in the first quarter, not even Brad Wanamaker is going to be able to dig you out of that. Marco in even. San Francisco. Marco wants to talk about Draymond Green with the Twitter fingers. What's up, Marco?
Last night was super frustrating because I think as you guys are all saying, you know, you see three wins in a row, you expect some momentum. And look, I'm okay if they lose, but getting blown out like they did and the just the body language on the court, it's frustrating. And I do think Draymond was throwing a little shade at the rookie just to say, hey, look, man, you got to step it up. We know you're 19. We know you played, what, two games in college. But, you know, he's having problems catching the ball. His body language is something that causes me some concern, right? He looks dejected a lot of times running down the floor when something doesn't go right. And I think he was trying to, you know, just gently and subversively just say, hey, come on, let's step it up. Let's do our thing and keep rolling. You know, on the Oubre Wiggins thing, they got to step up, man. They've been in this league long enough to know that, you know, you're going to wear Curry out. And you can even see it on Curry's face sometimes. I think he's getting frustrated with always having to carry the weight and, you know, none of these guys kind of, you know, stepping up. You know, it's great when you have a big game against a marginal opponent, but it's the big teams that you got to be able to show some consistency, and he's not getting it from those guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate the call. You know what? I'm kind of with him there on Oubre. Now, why can't Oubre – like, that's the game where I want to see Oubre maybe get a little out of control. You know what I mean? Just try to make something happen. And he was kind of sleepwalking a little bit, too, last night. But we talk about him as, oh, boy, he's sometimes too aggressive. To me, that's the game. Like, you're getting down 10. You're down 14. Try to make something happen, Dibs. Roll the dice. And it's just funny. That's the game he doesn't try to do that.
Right, and you just think about the way that unfolded, though. It happened, you know, that escalated quickly.
That's
from
true.
Anchorman. You know, you go from being down 7-3, Kevon misses, now you're down 18-5 in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, they go on an 11-2 run. They open up on a 7-3 run, and then it's an 11-2 burst that turns into, you know, all of a sudden now you're down 20-5. 20-5, Steiny. I mean, it's one thing. Okay, you go down 9-3. That's not good. If you can make it 17-14, okay, now we're in the flow of the game. But you go from down 9-3 to down 20-5, that's like some of the CYO games I ref, Goo. It's like you throw up the ball in a fifth grade B game. It's like, ooh, man, this poor team in white, one's going to get ugly. And, you know, you look at the end of the half, it's halftime, and it's 27-3, and you're thinking, well, at least they scored. But, you know, I've had games where team's down 18-0 midway through the fourth, and I'm making stuff up. I can't stand watching a team get shut out. But 20-5 in an NBA game, night-night. Night-night.
Yeah, and I couldn't blame it on Dre, Steiny and Dibs. He got off early, and he had one dunk with Kitty Skywalker. So I was like, okay, we got something here, and there was just no fire, and they were shooting bricks. I mean, they were coming off the rim, Steiny. If you saw even Oubre's, they were like, did you know they got the mics on the net, Steiny? Like, oh, my God. It just, they were cold, man. Like, they hadn't played. That was a moment they blew to me. Because you win that game, you know, we're not just us in the Bay. Everybody's talking about this new Warrior team. But you got knocked out, not TKO'd. You got knocked out.
You sure did. You sure did. And that's the one issue I had is they, you know, it's okay to get blown out on occasion, but there was not one sign of life last night for the Warriors. Gary's in the city, wants to relax a little bit on the Warriors. What's up, Gary?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I listen to your show every day, and you know, I mean, I think the Warriors are doing fine, but my problem is they're very inconsistent. They lose the teams that they probably should beat. And if I'm not mistaken, they get two first-round picks next year. And hopefully Minnesota finishes out of the top three and the Warriors finish in the top 10. And they get two top 10 picks. And maybe they could do something in those two picks. And I'm also concerned with their rebounding. And I think James Wiseman will be fine. He's the best center they've had since the days of Robert Parrish.
Thank you, Gary. Nice. Appreciate the call.
Great Chief shot out there. Got really? The Chief in there under the buzzer. Rebounding is a problem, Steiny.
Oh, gosh. It absolutely is. Steve Ashburner works for NBA.com. We're having him on Friday, right at the end of the first half at halftime. He does a rookie ladder every week. Wiseman's not even in the top 10 right now. Goo.
That's a problem.
What's up with your boy?
That's a gut punch, and I'll say, you know, something that I'm noticing here, even with the win in Charlotte. It comes with the territory. But Wiseman, you're not starting him. He's not finishing games. Okay, I get that. He's 19. But when he gets off or he shows flashes, to me, everything else is going good with the team and the offense. There's never a scenario, and I haven't seen it yet, that the team or the offense like last night can be struggling, and then you can go to Wiseman Dibs and see some of those flashes. And you may very well say, and I think you are, oh, Goo, why would you think that? He's only 19. But when I look at these other rookies that can handle the ball, that – you know, their hands may be a bit stronger. Their legs are stronger. You know, let's put the rat on the table. Wiseman has baby colt legs. So he's got to get stronger everywhere. Hands, legs, and I don't know when that's going to manifest, but he's not an option right now when everybody else is struggling to take you to another level or kind of keep you in it. And that's concerning me. And maybe, Steiny, that's why he's not starting or finishing games.
It's just he's not ready, and I think what you said about his body is totally fair. He's not strong enough yet to go in there and be completely impactful. He turns 20 4 weeks from tomorrow, March 30th, I believe, or the 31st, one of those two, Steiny. His opening stint, I just checked to make sure I had it right. He comes in for Kevon with 6 minutes to go in the first, and over the remainder of the quarter, it's two rebounds, two fouls, one block, no field goal attempts, and he's a minus six. And it's not to put it all on him because Kevon was a minus 14 before Wiseman came in. But to Guru's point, he's not yet able to come in and be as impactful as Draymond Green's favorite point guard, LaMelo Ball, is.
Well, you know, there's a few reasons for that. Like Dibs points out a lot, I mean, Ball's already played essentially professional basketball. The one thing that's scary, though, and I get it, big men take longer, is LaMelo Ball's younger than Wiseman.
See, that's real scary, man.
He's younger than Wiseman. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that the more and more Wiseman struggles, and I'm not necessarily saying he's struggling, it's going to become a little bit of a talking point, I believe, with Ball. I mean, he's the kid.
What did Slater write? Slater wrote an article last week, Steiny, to that point that this ain't going anywhere. They'll be mirrored for the rest of their careers.
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. Robin's in the city. Hey, Robin.
Hey, nice doing all three of you. Guru, he don't start and finish games because he's a defensive liability. That's why he don't start and finish. Come on, let's face it now. He's weak on rotations. He don't know where the weak side help is. Hey, come on, you know, and I'm tired of that. He's just 19. We know he's just 19. Just critique him and move on. That's what he got to get better at. And another thing, last night didn't surprise me. I have to go back and watch it again. I turned it off. It's going to be painful, but I do watch games two and three times. My pain level was low last night. I called in specifically to address you, Guru. First of all, three players know the defense. I mean, know the offense, right? Dre, Looney, and Curry. Oubre showed signs of learning more, cutting, backing, cutting, and things like that. Everybody else doesn't know the offense. And the reason why you say, why can't they do better? Why they're not at that level? Look at that second unit. That second unit sucks. I don't care what the rotations are. Nobody knows the offense. Nobody. Wanamaker sucks, but how can he even lead if he didn't suck when nobody knows the offense? They don't have enough playmakers. In particular, they don't have enough playmakers in that second unit. Moving forward, whether Clay comes back, Oubre, Wiggins come close, they have got to fix that bench. It is the Achilles heel. It is going to be their downfall. That's all I have to say. Bye, you guys.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. I'm going to piggyback on another thing she said.
I mean, before you piggyback, you should take this opportunity to let people know that the all-team, the all-league team, the mid-season all-league team, all-caller teams, first, second, and honorable mention, and we may even go third team.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to text in your nominations, 888-957-9570, the boys behind the glass, Steiny, I know you've been poring over your notes, mm-hmm. but, you know, Robin quietly could, but go ahead and piggyback on what she said. I just wanted to get that in there, just keep people on the edge of their seat about what's coming.
Yeah. Okay, Dan.
BPA, Brian Palo Alto, hello.
Yeah. The playmaker idea is, you know what? I'm starting to realize they don't have any playmakers on this team other than Curry. And you know what? It doesn't change when Klay comes back. Klay's not a playmaker. He doesn't make plays for other players. So I think that's something that they've got to figure out. They got to have, I'm talking about in addition to Draymond Green. I mean, Curry's the biggest playmaker on the team, then Draymond Green. After that, that's it.
How special is that ability, though? Because I would tell you or Robin or anybody, Dibs, you got Oubre. I love seeing Oubre solo or Wiggins with the second team. Right. But they're not playmakers. As gifted as they are, playmaking, that ability, it's natural. You know, it's a skill. Some have it, some don't. And she's right. But I got to say this. Are we so sure that the second team is what she says it is? Because at one point this year, I was giving them the nickname. I was liking what I was seeing from the second team. What about Pascal? You telling me those points came in garbage time, Steiny? Is he a playmaker?
No.
I mean, yeah.
He can score.
A playmaker is a guy who can get his own in a variety of ways. Like, Klay Thompson is a great scorer. He's not going to take the ball from the wing, pump fake, drive to the middle, draw two, and pass. It's not his game. It's not the
LaMelo
Ball game.
He's
a playmaker. LaMelo Ball is a playmaker, and he can score too. Curry can play, make plays for himself and for others in a variety of ways. I think that's what, Steiny, you're talking about when it comes to playmaker. Pascal can shoot. He's right. Especially for a stretch four. And, other than that, Damian Lee, he can shoot. Bazemore, he can do some things, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's a playmaker. Only one in the positive last night, by the way, +5, Steiny, in a revenge game against his former team.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have a revenge game coming up against Portland. And, yeah.
Not 5, not 6, not 7.
Up against Atlanta. You know what I was thinking? I mean, I got to take a look at the other teams in the league, but the Warriors may have the worst passing combination of 2-3, shooting guards and small forwards. I mean, Oubre and Wiggins just, they're not on the receiving end of a bucket. They're not usually starting the making a play for
Yikes.
Somebody else. Exactly.
They had a combined 1 assist last night.
Did they have that many?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was an Oubre assist. Wig with 3-2-0 last night. 3-2-0.
By the way, now Andrew Wiggins, everybody, who's having the best year of his entire career, moved up a notch in terms of level of play, according to many. You just look, and it's like he's below 35% from three-point range, 45% from two-point range, like always. His rebounds, not very good. Block shots, guess what? He averaged more block shots in the 12 games he played for the Warriors last year than he's averaging now. So this defensive stopper who's blocking shots left and right blocked more shots a game in 12 games last year. I mean,
but he's two-way wig.
He's about 1.25-way wig. And I'll tell you, I mean, here's the other thing, and I don't like to put the money in this with Wiggins. But that guy is paid a lot of money. How do you go 1-for-5? He didn't do one thing last night with a modicum of aggressiveness. Not one thing. I can see how he can be a frustrating player and get more frustrating, to tell you the truth.
And I think, Gu, that speaks to a little bit what you're talking about with Curry and what you're seeing from Curry, because at times he's not getting any help. And when Draymond goes out with the ankle, now you know you've got nothing. You've got no action, as we like to say. If Wiggins is looking to score and playing well and Oubre is playing right on the edge of out of control and Draymond's running the show, then Curry doesn't have to work as hard. But last night, you got down 20-5, and there was nothing happening. So it was good that they shut that thing down.
And real quick here, I hear you, Dibs. Also, too, and I'm not going down Dre's road, Steiny, but nobody's guarding him or, you know, for his jump shot. And as good as the ability to hold the ball and wait for Steph to get open, it's like that other man is double team. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't shooting it. We know you waiting to pass it. You Joe Montana. And it's just like wearing on Steph to the point to where you can see, you know, the little bubble in his head with his thoughts like, I need some help. And he does.
This is from the 510. You guys are a bit too harsh on the Warriors. Even without Anthony Davis, the Lakers are one of the best defensive teams in the league, and they took it to the Warriors. I agree with all that, and I also I'm with you on if you take a step back, they're 19-16. That's, I think, a positive, but it's the way they lost that game. It's the way they lost that game last night. There was no energy. They never put together one little run. Just a little run to cut a 20-point lead to 12 at one point. It just never, ever came. And that, to me, is a sign. I don't know. It's an NBA game. You should be able to put together 5 or 6 minutes at one point where you look half decent. All right. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you think after that Warrior game last night? Got down 20 after a quarter, 30 after two quarters, and it was all downhill from then. Where do the Warriors go from here? And also, we've got Dibs Parlay coming up on the other side. We got Guru's Lock of the Day at 120. And we also have Chris McGee, pre- and post-game host for Lakers down in Southern California. We'll be talking to him, and it's all sponsored by Safeway. Safeway has great savings on fresh produce and meat this week. Save on large Haas avocados, buy one, get one free. Also, large Gala or Granny Smith apples, only 99 cents per pound. And USDA Choice boneless beef top round London broil, $2.99 per pound.
In the place to be. You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty. That was a letdown. You know, Dibs, I was watching, and Goo was watching the Warriors on this three-game winning streak, and obviously put another one under their belt Friday, and Saturday I was kind of out and about talking to some people, and Warriors. Yesterday, Dibs, you know, I was with some buddies, and they're like, hey, this is great. Yeah, play a little golf, go home, watch the Warriors. Man, they're fun. I had a buddy say, you know what, this it's actually more fun now kind of watching the Warriors than when you knew they were going to win every year. I'm like, I know, it's pretty 5 o'clock start tonight, Lake. Just what the hell was that? What the hell was that?
Gone.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Steve Kerr real quick, Dibs. I'll set you up with Steve Kerr on what went wrong.
Just never in the game. I mean, right from the beginning, we were fouling them like crazy. I think they had 16 free throws in the first quarter, 26 maybe in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. And then we got destroyed on the boards, and we turned it over. I mean, we had no chance from the very beginning. We weren't ready to play, and they came out and a great game. So just a very disappointing night overall.
16 free throws in the first quarter. My goodness, that's a lot of fouling. And it's, I know in our league, Goo, we always, oh, the officials, everyone's always trying to blame the refs. Steve just told you they were a step slow on defense. They got killed on the boards. By the way, they're 23rd in the league, our league, in rebounding, and they've given up the second most rebounds per game on the defensive glass. So you're playing against a stronger team, and you are a step slower, a step disinterested, and you give up 14 first quarter throws. That thing was god awful.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear a damn thing about field goal percentage, Steiny, when you're lacking in rebounding, because you can't finish off the possession if you don't get what you work so hard for. And You know, lineups to me, Steiny, in baseball are just like starting lineups in basketball. And let me tell you who doesn't have the best. It's the Lakers. Outside of Schroeder, the carcass that is Marc Gasol, you gave him a pulse last night. Why are you fouling? And who are you fouling?
You're fouling for a couple reasons, I think. One is you're undersized. That's one of the reasons you're fouling. And then I just think, like, you know what? I looked at some numbers with fouling. All right, you have James Wiseman. He is a fouling machine right now. He basically averages 6 fouls per 36 minutes. That's the highest on the team.
Damn.
Kent Bazemore, he fouls about 5 times per 36 minutes. Bazemore is good for 2 bad reaches a game, and if not 2 bad reaches, then 1 bad reach and a foul of a 3-point shooter that's not very good. Looney's got to foul a lot, too, because he's undersized. And Kerr has always talked about how he hates when the guards reach. There's nobody that watched that game, or I should say, I'd be shocked if there's anybody that watched that game last night and said, oh, I mean, look at the foul shooting discrepancy. Warriors didn't have a chance. Wow. Nobody was saying that last night. The refs did not stick out one iota. What stuck out most was the Warriors lacking in the competitiveness department, Goo.
Mm. Yeah, I don't understand it. And you got Draymond Green. And, Dibs, you tell me if I'm being unfair, because this is what I mean to my core. Steiny, you were out and about. You were out, and you were talking. I got to be honest, man. I've been waiting for this 5- or 6-game winning streak that went into my prediction of 44 wins for a while. But it seems like this 3-game win streak, the first one this season, people were acting like it was 7 or 8, Dibs. Let's think higher. Let's want more. It was just 3, but at the end of the day, you've done this against Denver. You've done it against Phoenix. So we've seen this before, and if we're still going to just pretend and say it's no big deal, we're just going to throw it out, then explain to me, Dan Dibley, why this has happened on national TV before against other Western Conference foes.
But put the national TV aside. It's basically like a horse in a horse race. You know, the Warriors against teams of their same caliber or a slightly lower caliber, they're going to win. So if you take a horse that normally runs for $50,000 and you put them against horses that run for $10,000, that horse that runs for $50,000 is probably going to win. But you take that same horse that wins at $50,000 and you try to throw it up in the Kentucky Derby against horses racing for millions, you're not going to do as well. So barring the big comeback over the Lakers, if this Warrior team plays that Laker team 10 times, it's probably going to be 8-2 in the Lakers' favor, if not 9-1. And we talked about it, guys, the Dirty Dozen, the 12 games before the All-Star break. Well, they've played 10 of them, and they're 6-4 in those 10 games. And you got a couple of tough ones left. If you happen to drop them, it just goes to show what we've known all along, and this is why Steiny, you know, Captain Dumpty, predicted 36-36. And you know what? If you end up winning the prediction game, I'm going to have to drop that nickname because it would show just how right you are. Because, Goo, this team is basically what Steiny had forecasted. They're a 500 club. You win the games you should. You lose the games you probably should. But just the way they lost last night is what it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Let's go out to Mo. Mo's in Richmond. What's up, Mo? How you doing, man?
Hello?
Hey, Mo.
Mo.
I just wanted to chime in on not placing any blame, but just the last couple of seasons, just the way our bench players are, you know, who we picked. Like, I forgot the guy's name that's in Atlanta now. I guess our old general manager. Like, we don't have those cagey veterans.
Right.
Yeah, right. We don't have the cagey veterans we once had, the West, the Bogut. Like, those savvy bench conversations we're missing right now. Like, it's a mental thing, I think, sometimes when you have somebody who already knows the plays. It's just a lot of that that's just missing. We have a lot of trying to still figure it out players.
Definitely.
Like, the money we gave Wiggins, like, I think LeBron and Jimmy Butler showed us what we, you know, what we were getting out of Wigan. And I don't think we should have picked them up in the first place.
Thanks, Mo. Appreciate the call. I mean, I'm Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell. Okay. Hey. You know,
I hear you,
everybody
man.
Will say Wiggins is a better fit, and he probably is because Russell was a point guard. But I do think you have to say this is a team that's got a ton of new players on it. They have not played together very much. That's fair. And you're trying to incorporate some young players in here, Wiseman, Pascal, trying to bring some older players in here, Bazemore. I do think the second team has to – you got to upgrade that second unit. But that's not going to happen this year, Dibs. That's something that's going to happen probably over time, hopefully.
Right, and that's why as we look at this Warriors season, it's fun. Every game, you never know. And hopefully they can get to the playoffs, and then you can see if they can win a series or maybe even two if they go on the run that Goo – dreams about. But we all know, and they know inside the building deep down, that it's not about the chip this year. It's about getting in position to get Clay back, maybe a couple of picks, and then next year see if you can't make that push, because you know this year has been better than it could have been, certainly better than I had expected so far. But what you said up front, Stein, at the start of the year is, you know, this team is probably right about 36 wins, right in there. That's what Vegas thought, and that's what it has been proven out.
I'll say this, Steiny. You can call me Bob because I still have a little hope, and I'll ask both of you this. This team has not played its best basketball. Give me that.
No, I won't give you that. They played pretty well at times this year. Honestly.
Well, pretty well. Hey, you know, I'm talking about for like a 10-12 game stretch. I know they're 6-4, but you still got to count the debacle with giving the games away against New Orleans and in Orlando. That doesn't go under the good column. I still think there's another level collectively, including Wiseman, not Fallon, Steiny, and Dibs, that this team still has in its repertoire. And as down as I am, I don't think we've seen them play their best basketball. Give me that, though, Steiny.
No, I'm not going to give you. I won't meet you halfway. They'll play better. I mean, can I assume you mean when Clay comes back next year?
No, I'm talking about this year. What we
why? Seen why would you think that?
Because it's been marred with mediocrity.
No, Steph Curry? We were talking 10 days ago about how Steph Curry is playing like his unanimous MVP season.
Gotcha.
So does he have another level?
That's my point, Steiny. It's not the Steph Curry Warriors. It's Steph Curry and everybody else, including Wiseman.
Wiggins, to me, does not have another level. This is Wiggins.
It's starting to look that way.
Oubre in February was terrific. He was terrific for the last month. So I'm not ready to give you that yet. I think they've been pretty close to reaching expectations. I totally forgot. And I guess I got to jump in and do it. You know what? I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. My Dibs likes to parlay all the time, parlay all the time, parlay all the time. It's tough after a loss.
Yeah, it's tough.
My
the parlay
Dibs
was a loser.
Like to party all the time. I'll fade it out.
Parlay all the time, parlay all the time. It is 90.
Oh, there you go. It's time for the parlay of the day. And you know what, guys? It's time to maybe freshen up the music with a little March Madness, because we turn our attention to the hardwood. No, Goo, the NCAA tournament hasn't started, but the conference tournaments are underway, and today we're in the Big South. Your regular... Wow, that's good. You can keep your headset off. That's good. Steiny's walking off the bit because he doesn't believe.
I'm ready.
In
I got my
conference tournament.
And popcorn too. Good.
Yeah, Goo. The top seed Winthrop, play-by-play man David Friedman from San Anselmo, known him for the majority of his life. Terrific play-by-play guy. We're given the 13. Goo. Winthrop -13 against High Point, and we're going to parlay that to Longwood. Longwood on the money line against UNC Asheville. Goo, Asheville hasn't played in a month because of COVID issues. Longwood, a little bit of an up-and-down year, sitting at 11-15, but we're going Longwood. We don't want the 3 points, Goo. We're going money line +130. It's Winthrop, -13 to Longwood.
Winthrop.
Bam, bam. Yeah, that's intense.
Talk about the guy in Trading Places. That Winthrop?
No. No. Dan, High Point. Character?
I believe that's Winthrop.
Great. Yes. Yeah. And High Point, by the way, coached by Tubby Smith.
You know if right, man.
Tubby Smith, the head coach at High
Point.
Yeah,
former Kentucky coach.
He's fat.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that one. Hey, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco Radio.com sports station. And this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. And Winthrop, huh? Okay.